to the word. There are a few things that I just want to remind us of. Once again, we will be having our regular church board meeting March 20th at 9 a.m. And so I invite all church board members to put that on your calendar. We'll be having our regular meeting on March 20th at 9 a.m. But then also, we will be having a town hall meeting. So we first announced this last week, and I want to make sure that everybody is aware that our town hall meeting will take place on March 20th from 4 to 6. That link will be sent out. Now, this is a members-only town meeting. We love to have our guests in our worship services, but this town hall meeting is an in-house town hall meeting. And so if you are a member at Pikesville, we invite you to join us from 4 to 6 p.m. on March 20th. And now that that is out of the way, if you don't mind, I would like to get right into the word today. So if you have your Bibles, can you turn with me to Luke chapter 5? Luke chapter 5. For anyone that doesn't know, once again, the Bible is separated into two parts. There is the Old Testament and there is the New Testament. And Luke is found in the New Testament. It is the third book. It is right after Mark and right before the book of John. And so that is Luke chapter 5. We'll be starting at verse 17. Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 17, and we'll be reading until verse 20. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. So if you have it on YouTube or Facebook, just say amen. Or if you have it, you can type amen in the chat on Zoom so that we can go ahead and get started. That is Luke, once again, chapter 5, verse 17. And the Bible states, "Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him, and they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd. They went up to the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, 'Man, your sins are forgiven you.'" And so with your prayers and God's power, I'd like to deliver a message today entitled, "We Need Help to Heal. We Need Help to Heal." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, only your words and your message be delivered to your people, Lord, including myself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so as we know, March is a month where we take time in this country to recognize all of the wonderful and powerful things that women have done to accomplish and accomplish throughout history. As a matter of fact, from Rosa Parks to Sojourner Truth to Maya Angelou, there is absolutely no doubt that women have made an amazing impact on society that we live in today. As a matter of fact, men and women, even though they are women, are definitely different than us men. In many ways, it is a certainty that men need women and women need men. And if I could just be honest on this Sabbath day, oftentimes women do things better than us men. Yeah, if you don't believe me, just go into a home of a woman who is living there versus a home where a single man resides, aka his bachelor pad. See, a house where a woman lives most likely will have an exquisite color scheme. There'll be art and pictures hanging from the wall. There might be fresh-smelling candles burning. There might be decorative pillows scattered all over the couch. But in a single man's home, you might just find a bed, a couch, and a TV, and you'll be lucky to find anything else. As a matter of fact, women really know how to make a house a home. But one of the things that women also do well is that they know how to schedule rest and relaxation into their schedules more than us men do sometimes. See, they'll regularly get their hair done, maybe their toes and their nails. They'll go to the spa in order to rejuvenate. They might take their vacations annually. They just really know how to take care of themselves. But women are also more likely to take better care of their health as well. As a matter of fact, a report released by the CDC in 2001 found that women are 33% more likely to visit a doctor than men are. As a matter of fact, a lot of men avoid visiting a doctor in order not to be burdened with the bad news of declining health, and women are seen to be more proactive to ensure that they are knowledgeable with what is going on with their bodies. See, a study also showed that women are twice as likely to consult a mental health specialist than men are as well. So simply put, women in today's society seem to be more concerned about health and healing than men are. But how many of us in here can testify that we all need healing? As a matter of fact, some of us need healing in our bodies. Some of us need healing in our minds. Some of us need healing in our spirits. Some of us need healing in our marriages. Some of us need healing in our bank accounts. Some of us need healing in our families. Some of us need healing at our jobs. Some of us need healing in our traumas. Some of us need healing from the losses that we've suffered along the way. Some of us need healing from racial oppression that we have experienced. Some of us need healing in our relationship with the church, and some of us need healing in our relationship with God. And what I want somebody in here to understand today is that it doesn't matter if you're white, if you're black, if you're Hispanic, if you're young, if you're old, if you're female, or if you're male, a believer or atheist, we all need healing of some sort at certain times in our lives. As we look at the story in the passage of Scripture today, we find a young man that is desperate for healing. See, the Bible tells us that this man was a paralytic and that he was unable to get around on his own because of his physical ailment. See, this condition prevented him from being able to move around and function in his day-to-day tasks. Because of his situation, he was limited in the way that he could operate in society. See, because of his paralysis, he became a burden to those around him that had to carry him. And what I want somebody today to know is that because you have yet to heal, your trauma has caused you to be stuck in the same place in life, unable to move around freely as you would like. Because of your trauma, it has kept you from accomplishing your goals and functioning day to day at a high level. See, because you have yet to heal, your trauma has hindered you from operating in society in a healthy and productive way. See, because of your trauma and you have yet to heal, you have become a burden to your friends, your family, and all those that are around you that have to carry the weight of your mood swings. They have to carry the weight of your rude demeanor. They have to carry the weight of your discouragement, of your pessimism, of your projected fears, of your destructive words, of your depression, of your anxiety, to the point that it is hard to foster intimate and close relationships that you desire. And what I'm trying to get us to understand today is that, church, we need to heal. See, the problem is that even though we know that we need healing, for some odd reason, we haven't been able to obtain the healing that we need. See, we're stuck with the problem, but we don't have the solution. We are constantly talking about the issues, but we rarely ever resolve them. And this is seen in many different areas of our lives. See, we know that our marriages are struggling, but we just hope one day that things will magically get better. See, we know that many times we have more bills than month, but we don't know how to turn our financial situations around. See, we understand that our children need our help and our support, but we don't know how to get through to them. But the only thing is that we don't only struggle individually, but we also have these same exact challenges as a church. See, our membership is steadily declining, but we don't know how to stop the bleeding. Our youth and young adults are leaving the church at alarming rates, but we're clueless on what to do. Our financial ability is rapidly deteriorating, and we don't have any answers. See, the fact of the matter is that we're living in a world with lots of pain. We're living in a world with lots of suffering. We're living in a world with lots of struggling, and we need time to heal. But how do we find the answers that we are looking for? How do we obtain healing for ourselves, our families, our communities, and our churches that we so desperately need. And I believe that this text actually gives us three things that we need in order for us to obtain the healing that we desire. And the first thing that this text tells us is that we have to want to be healed. We have to want to be healed. Verse 17 puts it this way. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now notice in this text that the Bible says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. See, this is vital. We have to understand that the writer of this story, Luke, was a well-educated physician. See, he wrote eloquently, and he was very intentional about the way he wrote things in his gospel account. See, some scholars believe that even though this story involved the paralytic man and his friends, the focus is really about the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who were unwilling to be transformed by Christ's healing power. See, even though Christ could cure all manner of physical ailments, it was spiritual sickness that he had the power to present to heal on that day. See, but the problem is that even though Christ had the power to turn their hearts of stone into flesh, even though Jesus could give them eyes that could see and ears that could hear, and even though the Savior wanted to so desperately save them from the clutches of the devil, the Pharisees and the doctors of the law were so blinded by their jealousy and their hatred for Jesus that they blocked their own blessing of healing. And how many of us know today that sometimes we fall into the same trap as the Pharisees in this passage? See, we're so blinded by the hurt that was inflicted on us by someone else that we would rather hold on to that pain than let God come in and heal us. See, we're so blinded by our own ambitions that we fail to see the path of destruction that was left behind us on our way to the top. See, we're so used to dysfunctional relationships and dysfunctional interactions with others that we fight, kick, and scream when God tries to take the toxicity out of our lives. And what I'm trying to say to us, Pikesville, is that if we want to be healed, we must truly desire healing. See, healing can't just simply be lip service, but we have to have a sense of desperation, especially when our situation is dire. Okay, some of us aren't quite getting it yet. And so let me put it this way. See, if we want to attract and keep the youth and the young people in our church, but we don't put our efforts and our money where our mouth is by creating programs and ministries that are led by them to help them grow in their relationship with God. Or maybe sometimes we say that we want happy marriages, but we do not put the work in, get the professional help that we need, or take time to ask God how to love the spouse in the way that they need to be loved. Or sometimes we say that we're tired of being broke as a joke, but we have yet to seek God's guidance or contact a financial advisor in order to help us get our finances in order. And what I'm trying to say to you today, church, is that we know how to talk a big game, but a lot of times we fail to follow through with our professions. See, and what God is trying to tell somebody in here today is that he has the power to heal you right now, but you have to really want it. See, the problem is that with your healing process is hindered by your pride, your healing process is hindered by your disbelief, by your doubt, your healing process is hindered by your fear and your resistance to change. But God is trying to say to somebody today that you need to stop fighting me. I'm here to save you and to help you to heal. As a matter of fact, there's many things that I have on my bucket list. See, I want to travel to many numerous countries. Another thing I wanted to do is that I wanted to learn how to kind of know the basics of building a house from beginning to end. I also wanted to take some classes to train and continue training in self-defense. But one thing that I really wanted to do, especially in my younger years, is that I wanted to get my lifeguard certification. See, but the problem with that is that I can only kind of, sort of, actually swim. As a matter of fact, lifeguarding can be a job that's boring most of the time, but when tragedy strikes, you have to be on your A game. As a matter of fact, I remember once talking to a lifeguard and him telling me about the rescue buoy that they used to carry. In order to save a panicking person, the rescue buoy was used not only as a floating device, but also for that drowning person to hold while they're taken to shore. But sometimes in their panicking, the drowning person, the lifeguard, could use that rescue buoy to hit them over the head and knock them out so that they're able to take them to safety. And what God is trying to tell somebody in here today is that he knows your situation is dire. He knows that it seems like life is drowning you. You are drowning in depression. You seem to be drowning in anxiety. You seem to be drowning in stress. You seem to be drowning in fear. But God is trying to tell you to stop fighting me, because I'm here today to make sure that you get the healing that you need in your life. And how many of us know today that sometimes God has to knock us over the head in order for us to pick us up? See, now, I don't know about you, but God has knocked me over my head plenty of times in my life so that I would stop fighting the healing that he was trying to bring into my life. See, the fact of the matter is, some of us are too hard-headed and have to learn the hard way. See, maybe the struggles that you're going through right now is because God is trying to hit you over your head to get your attention. This is why we must learn to trust God through adversity and notice that God's presence has never left us. He's been wanting to heal us for years, but we haven't gotten to a place where we actually desire to be healed. And so we need to step out of God's way and open up our hearts if we truly want to see his healing power manifested in our life. If you believe that, just go ahead and type amen in the chat. See, the second thing, if we want to be healed, we must not only desire healing, but we also need to have a strong support system. We also need to have a strong support system. And the Bible puts it this way. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in, because of the crowd, they went up to the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. See, church, if we desire to be healed, we need to stop living in isolation. See, if you ask me, we have there has been an orchestrated movement by the devil to divide and conquer God's people. See, this is why we often hear people reiterate ideologies in society like being independent or being self-made or living your best life. See, all these mantras embody an individualistic mindset that is self-centered and focused on what's best for me, myself, and I. And see, don't get me wrong, because I understand that things have happened in our past to make us this way. See, people have betrayed our trust. People have bullied us. See, people have made us feel less than. People haven't valued what we're actually worth. People have mistreated us, and people have also lied on us. And I want to acknowledge that these traumas are very real and have caused many of us to erect walls to keep us safe and to keep everyone else out. See, but what I want somebody here today is to get is that, brother, you cannot make it on your own, no matter how much society tells you that seeking help is a sign of weakness. And to my sister, you cannot navigate this world by blocking everyone and everything out because of the emotional trauma that you suffered over the years. And what I'm trying to say is that God did not create us to live in isolation, but he created us to live in community. See, as a matter of fact, community has always been a place where healing was supposed to be found. See, God repeated in Genesis how Abraham and his seed were to be a blessing to all the nations. In the Old Testament, God continued to reiterate the need for the fatherless and the widow and the stranger to find safety within the community of God's people. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts, the church ordained deacons in order to minister to the physical needs of the people, and the people of the church shared everything in common as each person needed. And what I'm trying to tell us today, Pikesville, is that church was erected to be a place where those who lacked to find wholeness and healing could come. See, church was supposed to be a place where you can come to get physical, where you can come to get mental, where you can come to get emotional, and where you can come to get your spiritual needs met. See, the church was supposed to be a place where broken lives were made whole. The church was supposed to be a place, a safe space for sinners seeking salvation. But my question today is, are we a church that God created us to be? As a matter of fact, are we the people that that when people walk through our doors, when they see sign on to our Zoom meetings, when they attend our programs, are they getting the healing community that they are looking for? See, after people encounter with have an encounter with us, are they leaving healed or are they leaving harmed? See, and if we want to be disciples of Christ, not only do we need to own our obtain our own healing community, but we also need to be a community of healing for others. And this is why the vision at Pikesville is that we want to be a central hub for hope, health, and healing for our community. As a matter of fact, like the paralytic's friends, we must do whatever it takes to make sure that everyone receives the healing that they need. See, the paralytic had a caring community that would give, that would not give up or give in until they got their friend to Jesus. And the problem is, church, that sometimes we run into compassion fatigue and give up on people way too early. See, we get tired of carrying them and their baggage around with us all the time, and we eventually disassociate and disown them. And church, I'm praying that we don't give up on people in need because Christ did not give up on us. See, this is why the songwriter said, "I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body." See, it is in His will that every need will be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. See, church, if we want to be healed, we have to stop living in isolation, and we have to start the process of healing as a community. If you believe that, just say amen or chat, type amen in the chat. And if we desire to be healed, I also want to say not only do we have to want to be healed, not only must we heal in community, but the third thing is that we need Christ to direct our healing. See, we need Christ to direct our healing. And what does that mean? The Bible tells us in verse 20 that when he saw their faith, he said to them, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." See, on the outside looking in, anyone could have been certain that this man who was paralyzed and could not walk would want nothing more than Jesus to be able to give him the ability to walk again. See, but the problem here is that we often trust our eyes and our understanding more than we trust God's wisdom and his discernment. See, we act like know-it-alls when in fact we don't really see the bigger picture. See, Jesus, like everyone else, could clearly see that this man wanted physical healing, but Jesus saw beneath the surface and knew that this man actually needed spiritual healing. And Jesus was able to diagnose this man's greatest need for healing because he is the great physician. See, the problem is that we run into we think we know what we need without asking God to reveal to us what we actually really need. And see, we diagnose our problems that we're not making enough money when God is saying that you don't, that saying to you that you don't, sorry, we diagnose our problems that not making enough money when God is saying that he is enough for all to provide for all of your needs. See, we say that not having a spouse when God is saying that he will never leave you or forsake you. See, we diagnose our problem as having wayward children when God is saying that you need to be slow to anger, slow to speak, and quick to listen. And what I want somebody here to get today is that we often misdiagnose our sickness, which results in us not obtaining the healing that we need. See, if you ask me, one of the worst things that happened to humanity was the internet. As a matter of fact, even though we've made many advancements in cyber technology that has catapulted us into levels of productivity and efficiency like we've never seen before, the internet and its speedy access to information can make us believe that we are experts in fields that we're actually novices in. See, WebMD for example, was a great tool because it helped people to get more information in depth about their symptoms in order to get an idea of what was going on in their bodies. But the problem occurs when people start to think that their 20 minutes of Google research is equivalent to the 4 years of medical school and the 4 years of residency that doctors, most doctors have to take in order to become proficient in their occupation. See, social media also adds to this, as many people have become self-proclaimed experts about things like vaccines and the economy and relationships. And at the point that I'm trying to make is that we cannot rightly diagnose our own problems without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, it is the Holy Spirit that will lead us into all truth, including all truth about ourselves. See, as humans, we cannot see ourselves, but through we can't help but to see ourselves through rose-colored glasses. But as Christians, we must learn to proactively rely on the Holy Spirit's expertise in order to examine our inner thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. As a matter of fact, this is why David prayed in Psalms 139:33-34, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting." Pikesville, see, we have to allow Jesus to come in and diagnose what we really need. See, but that takes humility, that takes surrender, that takes submission, that takes denial of self. And I'm praying that we make this a priority because we need help to heal. See, we need help to heal from those in the church whom we felt have wronged us. We need help to heal from those in the church who we felt have mistreated us. We need help to heal from those in the church who refuse to acknowledge our pain. We need help to heal from the pain of not getting our own way. We need help to heal from the pain of feeling like we were disregarded. See, Pikesville, God wants to do a mighty thing in our lives. God wants to do a mighty thing with our church. God wants to work miracles through Pikesville. God wants to work in us in miraculous ways, but we need to acknowledge today that we need help to heal. And so my prayer and my appeal is as simple as this. We need to gain the desire to heal. Somebody in here today has been so used to dysfunction. They've been so used to destructive ways. They've been so used to just doing things the same exact way that they really don't even understand that they're in a toxic situation. They really don't even understand that this comfort that they feel in dysfunction is actually holding them back from what they're trying to do. And because it feels safe, because it feels familiar, they continue to stay in the dysfunction. They continue to stay in a place of disease. They continue to stay in a place where they are sick. And what God is trying to say to somebody today is that he cannot actually heal you unless you first want to be healed. And so my first prayer is for somebody out there, whether you're watching us on Zoom or whether you're watching us on YouTube or whether you're watching us on Facebook, that has just been going through life. Somebody in here has just been struggling. Somebody in here has just barely been making it, and they've been trying to heal themselves. They've been going to counseling. They've been talking to friends. They've been trying everything. They've been trying to go on vacation. They've been trying to get their mind away from their issues and their problems. And I'm trying to tell you today that the only person that can actually heal you from that sickness that lies deep within is this man named Jesus, who is our great physician. The only person that can bring healing to your life is our Savior, known as Jesus Christ. And I'm inviting you today into a relationship with him, that you stop fighting him, that you stop not allowing him to do the work that he needs to do inside of you, but that you actually relax, that you actually let go, that you actually release and submit to his will so that he can bring that healing into your life. And my second prayer is simply this. We have to become, Pikesville, a safe and supportive community where people can not be harmed, but where they can actually find the healing that they need. And so my prayer is for us as a church, every individual individually and us as collectively as a congregation, that whenever a visitor walks through our doors, or that whenever somebody off the street walks through our doors, or whether whoever it is that comes into whether our programs or logs into our worship service, that they are able to feel the warmth of Christ each and every time they encounter us. See, many times the problem is not just it happens in all churches, is that people come into our church expecting to feel the love, the compassion, and the grace of Christ, and then somehow, some way, they get they experience somebody in the church that meets them with condemnation, somebody in the church that meets them with gossip, somebody in the church that meets them with negative behaviors, and because of that, they're turned off to Christ when it's not actually Christ, but it's actually us and our Christian demeanor. And so what I'm trying to say today is that my prayer is for us not only individually, but also us collectively, so that Pikesville can be known as a place, a central hub of hope, health, and healing for our community. And the third prayer is simply this. I'm just asking each individual, as we go throughout this week, that we pray that the Holy Spirit looks into our spirit, looks into our minds, looks into our deepest thoughts and intentions of our hearts, and helps to diagnose our actual sickness so that we individually can get the healing that we need. See, sometimes we may think we know what the problem is. Sometimes we might think that we know exactly what we need to work on. But the funny thing is, if that you actually become proactive, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal your own heart to you, if you ask the Holy Spirit to show you who you really are, one of the things that you will learn quickly is that the Holy Spirit will open up things to you that you never even considered needed to be healed. And so I'm asking us not to wait around for God to just give us some special revelation, but as Christian believers, we need to be proactive in asking God to give us the knowledge and the insight about ourselves so that we can ask for the right healing that we need. See, just like the paralytic that was in the story, see, God saw that his sickness was more than his paralyzed legs. His sickness was more than his physical ailment. His sickness was on a spiritual level. And so that's why Jesus proclaimed to him, "Your sins have been forgiven." And so Jesus wants to speak healing into somebody's life today. Jesus wants to speak healing into somebody's spiritual sickness today. But we have to stop focusing on the external matters and allow God to come in and to change and heal our hearts. And so as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to pray for us today that God will give us the healing, because everybody knows that we need help to heal. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for this day. Father, we thank you so much for this message, Lord, that has shown us that the power to heal is present even in today. Father, we might have read of your stories over 2,000 years ago and hear the Bible accounts, Lord, but you're telling us today, Lord, that you have healing power present even today on the Sabbath day. And as we look at the Bible, when we look through the accounts, oftentimes we see that some of your greatest miracles happen on the Sabbath day. And so, Father, I'm praying for somebody here today, Lord, who needs the desire to heal, Father. They're so comfortable where they are. They don't even understand that they need healing, Father. They don't desire it as much. They're not desperate for it quite yet. Father, I'm asking that you disturb their hearts this week. Father, I'm asking that even today, Lord, that you disrupt this toxicity that's flowing through them. Father, I'm asking that you help them to see the need of a Savior, Father, a need for healing, so that they'll be able to break free from the barriers that are stopping them from getting to the next level with you. Father, I'm asking for anybody that has been struggling with their relationship with you, Father, that you help them to heal from whatever it is that is blocking you, whatever the devil has implanted in their hearts, Father. I'm asking that you take it out and that you plant the seed of your spirit in their heart so that it can grow into a loving relationship for you. Father, somebody needs to accept Christ today. And so, Lord, I'm asking in a special way that you help them to reach out, Father, whether it's through the chat, whether it's through calling the church or talking to one of the elders or myself, that they call us this week in order for us, for them to give their lives to God in baptism and become a disciple of him. And Father, I'm asking, Lord, not only that you pray for that person that doesn't quite have the desire to be healed yet, But Lord, I'm also praying for us collectively as a church family. Lord, you know, just like any family, Lord, sometimes we have some dysfunctions that run within us. And Father, I'm asking, Lord, that you help us to learn how to be a safe space for sinners that are seeking salvation. Lord, help us to be a place where broken lives are becoming made whole. Father, help us to be a place where people come in and become healed and they don't become harmed. Father, I'm asking in a special way that you help us, Lord, to have the love of Jesus emanating so much from our building, so much from the individuals and the members of our church, Lord, that people will be drawn to you. Father, you said that if I be lifted up, I will bring all men unto me. And so, Father, I'm just asking that you be lifted up in our speech, that you be lifted up in our worship, that you be lifted up in our daily lives, Lord, so that people will want to come and that will run to our doors seeking a relationship with you. And Father, last but not least, Lord, I'm also praying, Lord, that you help us on an individual level. Lord, some of us don't even know what the sickness is. Father, we think we know. We think we can self-diagnose, Lord, but it's only your Holy Spirit that can reveal what is actually going in our hearts. And so, Father, I'm asking that you don't help us to be, that you don't allow us to be reactive Christians, but you help us to be proactive Christians, where we don't wait for you to just give us the revelation, Lord, but we constantly seek and ask for the revelation so that we can see what's exactly going on in the inner parts of our hearts, Lord. And Father, when you reveal to us the things that are going on in our hearts, if there's any wickedness in us, Lord, don't allow us to get depressed. Don't allow us to feel bad about ourselves, but give us the motivation in your spirit in order to give us that healing that we need. Father, we need healing. We're living in a world, as you can see, that there's wars, Lord. We're living in a world where people are committing suicide at high levels. We're living in a world where there's large amounts of homelessness. We're living in a world where people are starving. Lord, we're living in a world that is suffering with a lot of pain and agony, and we need help to heal. And so, Father, we're asking through the power of your Holy Spirit that you give us the resources, that you give us the understanding, that you give us more of your spirit, so that we can heal from the things, Lord, that are so easily besetting us. And so, Father, when we do experience this healing, when we do experience this wholeness that you want to give us, Lord, allow our lips and our tongues never to stop giving you all honor, glory, and praise for everything that you're doing in our lives. Father, we thank you because we know you are a God that will not only hear this prayer, Lord, but you will answer it according to your will. Help us to be faithful as we await your answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.